Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Thank you for joining us today. Always happy to have you, and we are actually joined by, I guess, this first segment. But first, I gotta get through some housekeeping, such as telling you that this show is brought to you by the Main Street Radio Network.com. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Sometimes their sponsors disagree with the content of the program, and even sometimes management does, but they always have our backs, and we appreciate that. Also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Main Street Radio Network is at mainstreetradionetwork.com or facebook.com/mainstreetradio or Twitter at Main Street Radio. And of course, you can find the Al and Nathan Show on Main Street Radio Network. Sometimes I guest host there, so that's why it's worth a listen, if not just for Al and Nathan himself. You can find out more about them at alandnathan.com. But if you just want to listen when I host, then you can go to Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, and keep up with what the topics are for this show, as well as whenever I guest host for Alan, because most of the time I'm pretty good about reporting whether or not I do that over there. All right, now on to our current guest. Her name is Simone Collins, and she is co-author of The Pragmatist's Guide to Crafting Religion. She is one of the intellectual leaders of the pronatalist movement. Simone Collins, happy to have you. How are you today? Simone Collins, you there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Okay. Yep, hearing you now. Thank you. So how are you today?
I'm very well. It's good to be here.
Mm-hmm. Happy to have you. So the Biden administration, they're contemplating declaring a public health emergency on abortion. I thought the fact that we've had millions of abortions per year was kind of a public health emergency.
We've got a much bigger problem, I would say globally, that the Biden administration is completely ignoring. Basically, our government, our infrastructure, our economy, and they're all predicated on the idea that our population will continue to grow. And it's fine if we don't want to continue doing that indefinitely. I'm sure there's a limit to the Earth's capacity for carrying humans. But right now, our pension funds, our retirement funds, our stock market, our ability to maintain plumbing infrastructure in small towns and cities, these are all dependent on growing populations. And we're about to see population declines, not just in the United States, but around the world. So that's a kind of big deal. And it's funny that it's being ignored.
Yeah,
that's my daughter.
I heard some varying noises in the background. I hate to say it. I thought it was a dog. Sorry.
They sound awfully similar.
It's just the way it's showing up over the speaker. But I have to wonder, though, do these people not realize that this is what's going on? Because we can see other countries that are facing similar population declines. Japan, for example, they're going to come to a head with this much sooner than we are. And all these warning signs are out there. But not only is no one doing anything, you're in fact called a selfish bigot or something if you oppose people having abortions for whatever reason pop into their head. And if you want women to produce children. In fact, we have this whole question about what is a woman?
Yeah. People just don't want to have kids. You know, people are politically saying, I'm not going to have kids because they think it's best for the environment. Or, for example, they're negative utilitarians and they think that any suffering someone might experience in life is way worse than any benefit you might get from the good they do, the joy they experience, the life that they live. So just generally, politically, socially, people are against the idea of having kids. And of course, it's also harder to have kids now than ever before. I mean, once you have kids, CPS gets called on you. If you let your kid walk home two blocks from school by themselves, it's really crazy. And so what we really talk about in The Pragmatist's Guide to Crafting Religion is how can we reinforce people's cultures and society to become intergenerationally durable? And by that, we mean, can you create a culture that is good, that is beneficial to people, and that survives, that withstands the test of time? Because right now, many cultures are like endangered species going extinct. And it's scary to see that. We're about to see the extinguishment of so many important viewpoints and values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all for the sake of some temporary short-lived stuff that's probably going to end up terminating itself, I guess, as well as the human race. Because once really, are these future generations going to want to support their elders once there's like only three of the kids in for every 10 of the elders, right? At some point, those kids are just going to decide, well, you know what? You guys kind of screwed yourself over. You're not going to get money off my back for your Social Security or whatever, so I'm gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, currently, look at South Korea. With a 0.7 birth rate, for every 100 Koreans, there will soon be only 4.3 great-grandkids. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that definitely does not lead to a sustainable system for that country. It seems like they're about to go out of business right pretty quick. And no one's looking at these warning signs. No one's, aside from yourselves, no one in power is doing anything about it. I guess what they think
China
they can just...
starting to get pretty worried, right? They changed their one-child policy to a two-child policy to now a three-child policy. They're closing down vasectomy clinics and limiting access to birth control, and who knows what will happen next. But what we found is experiments along these lines actually are not effective as policy interventions. For example, at one point, Romania took very stringent efforts to basically encourage everyone to have kids. That led to a boom in orphans. And then while there was a short-term bump in the population of Romania, over the long term, there was an even steeper decline because people started associating having children with poverty, with bad things, with sad, deprived orphans. So you have to be really careful about how you approach this from a policy perspective as well. And often government intervention makes things worse than better. Really, what we think the most effective things governments can do now is to just take their foot off the neck of parents. Stop, in addition to having such stringent rules around how parents raise their children and when their parents give children independence, also don't force people to go to public school. Don't shut down private schools. Don't block homeschooling. Allow families to raise children in the way they want, to educate them in the way they want and in their culture. Because what happens in many cases now is people coming from perfectly culturally healthy and robust backgrounds send their children to public schools. They go through the mainstream university system, and they come out very much indoctrinated in a larger mainstream culture that we call in our book a sterilizing meme, because literally they're becoming sterilized. They're choosing not to have children. And as a result, you know, these entire cultures are being sort of systematically erased after their children are kind of taken from them. And as governments become a little bit more stringent about sending people to to public schools and having them essentially be indoctrinated in certain cultures, you're not only eliminating cultures, but removing the number of people in your population by leading more to stop having kids. So interestingly, while it seems like you have to bend over backward as a government or as a nation to help population rates rebound, really, a lot of it comes back to letting people do what they want to do and not regulating our lives and our cultures.
It seems that they're hell-bent on doing that, because as they stop having kids, they're going to start seeing these other kids who have different ideologies that they find repulsive, and they're going to try and do what they can by forcing them to go through college and the public education system in order to have the same, I'm not going to have a child ideology in the end of it.
Yes, and that's what's really scary is, and we also talk about this in depth in The Pragmatist's Guide to Crafting Religion, there are different types of cultures and they grow in different ways. The most sustainable way to grow in a culture is through birth rate, not through proselytization. So as much as people think, oh, Mormons must be converting tons and tons of people on their missions, no, it's really more of a birth rate thing that has caused the LDS church to grow in population over time, although even they are experiencing plummeting fertility rates, which is very disturbing to us. So, yes, what is going to happen as some people broadly define it as woke culture, we really think it's woke culture that's been hollowed out by a different kind of emetic virus. But as they run out of people, they are going to focus even more vehemently on converting other groups that do have high fertility rates. This is going to have really terrible backfiring effects. But in the short run, yeah, that puts those cultures at risk. And it, what really disturbs us is we've read so many long, very thoughtful essays on why people aren't terribly concerned about dropping populations, even for like their culture. Like we'll say for very, very progressive culture, they're like, well, don't worry. We'll just convert a bunch of Amish people. But what happens over time is if one culture continues to poach people from another culture, they will systematically remove the number of people in any culture that are open-minded. Because basically, let's say if there's a rhino and we only ever hunt rhinos with really, really big horns. Well, after a while, there aren't going to be any rhinos with really big horns, right? They all get killed off because they're not reproducing. The same things happen if you pick off every single open-minded person from a certain cultural group, convert them, and then stop them from having kids. That means that the people who will exist in the future will be systematically closed-minded. They'll have a very authoritarian mindset. They won't be willing to work with other groups. And that's not a really good idea either. We see plurality as being a very good thing to have in the future. The more cultures you have out there, the better. And that's even when you look at population rates. So you could argue that there are lots of groups out there that are like, hey, we only need more of my group. We want to, you know, keep out everyone else. We're not welcoming anyone else. But when you look at very homogenous, we'll say ethnic, religious, cultural, whatever cultures that you want to think of Japan that we talked about, for example, think of South Korea. These are very homogenous cultures.
That means that the show is running out of time for the segment, so I just wanted to give you a chance here for where can we get a copy of The Pragmatist's Guide to Crafting Religion?
Yes, you can grab that at Amazon.com, or you can visit pragmatist.guide.
All right, Simone Collins, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. Listeners, we got more coming up after this break.
The new Mayo Clinic diet has been named among the top diets by U.S. News & World Report. Dr. Donald Hensrud, medical director of the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program, explains what makes their program so effective.
Our new Mayo Clinic diet, built by a team of doctors and medical experts, focuses less on counting calories and more on empowering users with the knowledge and ability to maintain a healthy weight.
Members get access to exclusive content and videos from real Mayo Clinic doctors, healthy recipes, tracking tools, and the popular Habit Optimizer that helps users substitute old unhealthy habits with healthier ones, all through a mobile app.
Instead of fad diets or crash diets that rarely work for very long, our book and online program and app helps you adopt principles for a healthier way of life, which is really the secret to long-term success.
Curious to know how healthy your diet is? The Mayo Clinic has an easy 3-minute quiz. Go to mayoclinicdiet.com to find out.
Vitamin B12 is important for supporting not only our metabolism, but also our energy levels. Our brain and our nerves need certain vitamins like B12 in order to function properly. Even if you're eating all the healthy foods like fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, great sources of protein, it's sometimes the case that you can become deficient in one or more nutrient, and that's where supplements can be helpful. So if you want to support your B12 levels, Jarrow's methyl B12 is a great supplement to consider to optimize your B12 levels. This type of B12 is recognized by the body, so it's delivered to your cells more efficiently. It's also been shown that it is a great way to make sure that you're getting a highly absorbed form of vitamin B12 and one that's going to be retained better than other types of B12. You can learn more at jarrow.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt U.S. Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, is now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So you're just going to have me this segment and the next segment. I'm going to start first by issuing a correction. I did on the Alan Nathan Show last week, forgot to do it for my show, but I have said on this show in the past, so that's why I kind of need to issue this correction, that as Vice President, Biden didn't have the authority to take classified documents to his house. That is only partly true. It depends on what the documents, who classified the documents, I should say. Because Barack Obama in 2009 gave this executive order that gave sweeping classification, declassification powers to various officials, including Hillary Clinton, too, from what I read of it. Although Hillary Clinton wasn't the one stripping classified markings from emails, it was her staff. So that's kind of a different thing going on with her. Those staff, I'm not sure if they had the authority. But anyway, with Joe Biden, though, he did have the authority to declassify some stuff on his own. Whether or not he did that with his own documents is not known to the public at this time. And it's probably not going to be known to the public, as corrupt as this process has been. The main point that I'm getting to for this is how the total difference that the search of Biden's house at Rehoboth Beach in Delaware went versus the search of Mar-a-Lago. Now, the search at Biden's house in Delaware on Rehoboth Beach, that took about 3 hours, and the DOJ talked with Biden beforehand and said, hey, we're coming at this time, and we're going to, so, you know, you can go ahead and hide documents if you want to. Of course, they didn't say that, but they were probably winking it pretty loudly at him that he could do that. So, you know, if someone came to my house and said, we're going to search for illegal guns or whatever that you have there. If I had any illegal guns, I'd hide those suckers if they came and told me, hey, we're going to be back in 2 hours to search. It's like, okay, I'm going to go hide the stuff. Gee whiz. That's why you don't tell people that you're going to search their houses. You just show up with a warrant and search it. Gives them plenty of time to hide their stuff, and Joe Biden was given plenty of time by the DOJ to hide his stuff. Now, Democrats are out there arguing, oh, Joe Biden, he isn't corrupt. He wouldn't do such a thing. But the only reason Joe Biden turned over any documents to begin with is because he had no use for them anymore. He didn't move boxes from house to house and hide boxes in his think tank for 6 years and not at any point think, oh, gee whiz, this is dishonest. I should turn it over. And then just not do it. It's not like he forgot about it. He had all that stuff that they didn't, it wasn't condemned to obscurity. He kept it in the garage right next to his car. Saw it every day. He'd use that car. His son saw it every day. His son had unrestricted access. His son, who has no clearance to see classified information, had unrestricted access to this classified information. Yet we're being told that, oh, this is okay. This is acceptable. Whereas what Trump did, all he did was dispute a subpoena. And anyone who would have had access to that information would have had a clearance of some kind. Trump actually kept it locked up somewhere in a safe, didn't keep it sitting in his garage where anyone can access it. And what does the DOJ do? They knew where it was, too, by the way. In fact, one of the security precautions that Trump put in place was put in place at the request of the Department of Justice. Yet they show up, raid his house, spend 12 hours there or whatever, much longer than they spent at Biden's house, tearing the place apart. They didn't do that at Biden's house, though. They gave him advanced warning. Then I guess they, did a cursory walk around, and then that was it. That they were done with it because they knew that they gave him enough warning to get anything significant out of there. Just this two-tier justice system that we have here. And they're trying to talk like, oh, this is a legitimate process that we went through, and Biden is such a transparent guy. Look, if he was transparent, he would have told us 6 years ago he had this classified information. But he didn't. There's information dating back from when he was in the Senate, 2009, 2008. So there's stuff that's been sitting around for 14, 15 years, but he didn't talk about it until now, until he got caught with some, until it leaked out that there was some. I don't even think that this story was deliberately leaked to the press, except perhaps by someone who wants Biden out of the way, because they sure enough did a good job keeping it quiet back in November when allegedly this was first discovered. And that's coming right on the heels of Biden condemning Trump for being irresponsible with classified information. Again, Trump kept his locked up in a safe and even added a lock to it at the request of the Department of Justice. So added another security measure as if the ones he had in place weren't enough already, which they probably were. And yet you have Joe Biden sits in a box in his garage that his son and any family member who doesn't have classified security clearances has access to. Heck, if Joe Biden invited me over his house for some reason, I could have gone into the garage and started reading up on the stuff. And obviously, I don't have any classified clearances or anything like that. Heck, I have a friend who had classified clearance stripped away from him. If Joe Biden invited him to his house, then my friend would be able to see those documents that have classified material in them. So, and we're supposed to think that that's okay, that this is just acceptable and is totally way better than what Trump did, which was dispute the subpoena. Because all that happened with Trump was the DOJ said, hey, you didn't comply with the subpoena. Trump said, yeah, I did. What are you talking about? And so DOJ raided his house and spent hours upon hours there, many more hours than they spent at Biden's house, just tearing the place apart, going through shoeboxes, Melania Trump's clothing, everything. Unless Joe Biden had nothing in that house in Rehoboth Beach, it was just he owned it and had someone tend it every so often and kept it empty on the inside of furnishings and clothing. It's kind of stretching that 3 hours was long enough to do a thorough search like they did of Trump's place. Not only that, again, Trump had no advance notice, but Biden did. So maybe that's why the search took 3 hours. The agents knew that there would be nothing there because they told Biden in advance, get the stuff out. That's how else can you describe what they told them, right? How else can you describe giving such advance notice except as a subtle way to say, hey, get this stuff out there. We know you have it or probably do have it. Get it out of the house so we don't see it. And again, this, I say again because I didn't say it in this segment, but I said it on the show before. Some of this stuff looked like it was up for sale. And we have emails from Hunter Biden with classified information going back and forth to other people. And we have $54 million going to Biden's think tank where some of this classified information was stored. I guess after 6 years, it just wasn't of use anymore because, well, also now he's president. I wonder how many classified papers he's going to come away with as president. But anyway, $54 million from the Chinese government to this think tank that has this classified information sitting around. You don't think that was a payoff of some kind or that this think tank was some kind of money laundering operation? You look at these things, you know, one way, for example, to tell that a restaurant is mafia owned or a business is mafia owned is if it is not profitable and makes absolutely no business sense whatsoever. You know, for example, if it's a restaurant, you go in there, they serve, they have bad service, and there's only like usually three people in there, and it's always the same three people every time. You kind of know this restaurant's not above board. In fact, I was in a restaurant like that the other day, gave me some bad vibes. Closed early, had hardly any customers, yet had been around for a while. You don't get it. But anyway, you got to wonder, is the University of Pennsylvania's think tank for Joe Biden something similar? They didn't do anything. They didn't produce anything, yet it got millions of dollars in contributions to do nothing. Why was that going on? Is there something shady there as well? They did have one thing. They had classified documents sitting there. So was that $54 million to access those documents? Was that just $54 million to ensure Biden stayed on the Chinese government's payroll? We don't know. There's no transparency here. And again, the only transparency we had was when this classified information stuff was leaked, probably by someone who wants Biden out of the way. So much for transparency. So much for not being the corrupt ones. Folks, more Ilker Joe Show after this break.
It has been over 30 years since Hurricane Andrew devastated South Florida. That storm marked the beginning of the Home Depot being a hub for help during disasters, a tradition that continues today. To commemorate those efforts, the company is releasing a new film called Hope Builds. Briar Waterman, Senior Director, Creative Design of the Home Depot.
Drawing from interviews and using archive footage, we trace the origin, growth, and sophistication of the Home Depot's disaster relief efforts, demonstrating it is deeply connected to the values of the company and our unwavering support to our communities during their times of need. Whether it be a veteran in need or a community devastated by a natural disaster, Home Depot associates go beyond the job, beyond the 9-to-5, to make sure that their neighbors and communities are taken care of. This documentary is a prime example.
To learn more about the film or for help creating your emergency supply kit, visit your local Home Depot or thehomedepot.com/hopebills.
We definitely want to make sure that we don't overfeed our animals, because feeding our animals more is not love. You know, there's so many other ways you can show love, like throwing a ball and walking them and give them a little extra love.
The annual End Obesity Campaign by Hills is wonderful for a guy like me and Dr. Hodges, who are practicing veterinarians, because it's obesity, like you said, is one of those illnesses or conditions that we see most in the veterinary hospital. And it can be very difficult sometimes talking to clients about, you know, their patient being obese, you know. But Hills, with their campaign, have given us the tool to be able to get this message across. And it's something that they do annually. They've invested a lot of time, a lot of money into the research, into the pet food that we can use to help these animals that are obese.
So you can go to endpetobesity.com and you can learn a whole lot more about how you can actually use the love test, as well as learn more about Hill's pet nutrition and ways to control your pet's weight.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the second half of the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So, just saw this news here from Gateway Pundit. Hunter Biden asked Joe Biden's assistant attorney general, the Delaware attorney general, and the IRS to go after individuals close to President Trump who shared information from Hunter's laptop. In other words, what I just told you about in the last segment could, in fact, have them coming after me. Terrific. Well, Hunter Biden's the one who carelessly left his laptops laying around. That is, laptops in the plural. Several have been found. And he is also the one who the Secret Service had to cover up for when he illegally disposed of his gun. You know, if I left a laptop with classified information laying around, and then left a gun laying around as well, just for any old person to grab, I wouldn't be here right now on the radio with you. I would be in prison, probably for 10 years at least, if not 15, but because Hunter Biden is Joe Biden's son and a Democrat, he doesn't get equal justice. In fact, anyone who points out what's wrong with this picture is the one who the government comes after. Not Hunter, though, not the actual wrongdoer. And that is a total slap in the face of the kind of system that America is supposed to have, where the elites and the nobility that we have are supposed to be the equals to the rest of us under the law. That's the whole foundation of this system, equal under the law. In fact, Democrats of all people, they're the ones who complain that this system is not equal under the law. They complain that certain groups have more privilege than other groups. Yet here they are, supporting that very privilege for themselves. It's almost like when they complain about someone else having privilege, it's always a political enemy of theirs. It's just like it's almost like they just want to take it away from someone they don't like, rather than actually being opposed to the idea that some groups are better than others. I guess that happens in general with all their policies, really. You look at how they educate people, for example. Their own children go to private schools and are taught well, whereas with public schools, throw them to the dogs. Let the unions do whatever they want to. The unions don't want to teach, for example. They don't have to. If the unions say, math is too difficult to bother teaching kids, we'll come up with some bogus reason, say it's racism or whatever, and boom, not teaching math in schools anymore. State of Oregon found that out. Advanced courses in Massachusetts were stricken for similar reasons. So they just, again, it's all nothing. None of this is happening to them. Their kids are getting the best math education money can buy. But not your kids, because you're not one of the elites, and they don't want you challenging their power at any point. They don't want your children challenging their children at any point. So they're going to make sure you're kept dumb and subservient, so that when stuff like this happens with Hunter Biden, you just accept what they tell you, that it's okay. Yeah, go ahead. Persecute these people who shared Hunter Biden's laptop. Oh, how could they? It doesn't matter that Hunter Biden should never have had classified information on that laptop to begin with. And should never have abandoned that laptop to begin with. None of that matters. What matters is somehow people got a hold of it and they're besmirching the good name of Hunter Biden, who has been best known for being Joe Biden's collection agent, going around brokering deals with foreign powers. And we're finding that out from the emails too. Going around brokering deals with foreign powers so that Joe Biden gets rich and America is worse off. So that is the state of our government right now. And what I wanted to get to was actually something else that actually dovetails with this whole elitism nobility thing. And it's sick in a funny way. I'm saying it backwards here. It's funny in a sick, perverse way is what I was trying to say. I was about to say that backwards. Last week, I had to stay with my parents for a little bit because of stuff going on down there. And it just so happened ABC News came on because, it comes on before Wheel of Fortune. So, of course, they're watching it because they just don't want to change the channel. But anyway, that's probably how most ABC News viewers come about, I imagine, because people just stick it on there at 6 or 6:30. They're eating dinner. They don't want to get up and touch the remote. So they just let it play out to Wheel of Fortune. Anyway, ABC News's coverage, though, of the Tyre Nichols video release on Friday and their coverage of the video of Nancy Pelosi's husband being attacked, it showed just how out of touch they were. They tried to describe both videos as being equal. Equally as disturbing. That's what they said. So, a video of five men beating an unarmed person begging for life to death is the same as some guy whacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer while going from, 0 to 103 seconds the moment police show up. Somehow those two are equivalent. Someone dying on camera versus someone just getting a really bad headache. Those two are equivalent. Why? Because one happened to one of the nobility, and a hammer blow to the head of a nobility is worth five police officers beating someone to death, according to ABC News. And I dare say the rest of the folks in high society these days. We see that a lot where if you get robbed, raped, beaten, burned, whatever, by rioters and protesters, too bad, so sad, they have a right to do that, shut up. we saw that in Seattle, where they just allowed protesters to seize an entire couple of blocks of the city, have several thousand residents under their thumb. Daily, there were gunshots heard in that area, rapes reported, beatings happening, and it ended with several people getting murdered. No one cared. Democrats did not care at all. They just said, let it happen. This is the summer of love. It's a block party atmosphere. That is how the governor of Washington State described it. Summer of love. And so nothing was done about it, despite the brutalization that was going on inside those walls. Democrats didn't give a crap about those people who were suffering in there. Didn't give a crap about the people who were murdered at the end of it. However, the moment these protests started approaching their gated communities, white picket fences, that's when protests became a problem. That's when people started trying to stop them. We saw that time and again, where the moment protests reached a mayor's neighborhood who was saying, hitherto, give them space to riot, suddenly the protests are stopped. Or, for example, in Minneapolis, the city council that voted to defund the police, they voted for more money for a private security for themselves. Then you have Congresswoman Cori Bush, Democrat. She says defund the police, but she deserves private bodyguards and is unashamed about telling you this. You don't deserve any protection, but she does. They are better than you. Goes back to this double standard like we were talking about with Hunter Biden. He does all these illegal activities, so of course it's not him that's at fault, it's anyone who complains about it. And there will be no justice in this situation. Hunter Biden's going to get away with it, as he has for a decade now, at least, as he has for who knows how many years, peddling Joe Biden's influence worldwide. That's just going to keep going on. You know, it's the same corruption that the left looked for with Trump. They are still looking for. They spent 6 years looking for this level of corruption with Trump. They didn't find it. Millions of dollars, probably thousands of journalists and government officials digging through the records, trying to find some level of corruption with Trump, some way to tie him with Russia. They found nothing. Yet Hunter Biden is everything that they wanted Trump to be. This relation between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, it's everything they wanted the relation between Trump and his kids to be. Corrupt deals with foreign powers, money flowing back and forth. It's everything that they were looking for. Influence peddling, it's everything. But because it's their guy, it's their side, it's okay. No problem. Like with Nancy Pelosi and trading all these stocks, insider trading. Boy, if that were a Republican, he'd be on the pillory by now. But it's Nancy Pelosi, so she gets a pass, gets away with it. You know, just like when Nancy Pelosi wielded her power to crush a small businesswoman for pointing out how much of a hypocrite Pelosi was. This refers to that incident where Pelosi goes into a hair salon without a mask while ordering everyone else who goes anywhere to wear a mask. Suddenly, Pelosi is the victim for breaking the law and being hypocritical on her own rules. Not the hair salon person, but Pelosi. She's the victim. And the hair salon owner got a bunch of death threats, had to move out, had to close up shop. And the same people who are supporting the Democrats are the ones who say they're against corruption, they're against elitism, they're against nobility, they're socialists, they're for everyone being equal, they're for equal protection under the law for everybody. Except their own, apparently. Their own get away with it. So they say one thing, they paint the other side as being what they are not, but in fact, the other side is what they say the other side is exactly what they are. Corrupt, elitist, hypocrites. They don't exist to protect the working class. They exist to protect the nobility. Look at all the policies that they want to put in place, all the heavy taxes, regulations that they want to put in place against people, against the public. None of that helps the average person. None of that helps the average small business. The only people who it helps are really huge companies who can afford legal teams. And effectively, the government is squashing their competition and creating monopolies for them. They don't have to do anything. So the entire leftist ideology leads to power being focused in the hands of the few at the top. And not only that, it seems to be very fascist in nature because these companies are working hand in hand with the government because they know that's where their bread is buttered. They know the government is helping them out by creating all these regulations that are crushing their competition. So they don't even have to. They don't even have to be good companies. Capitalism doesn't have to work by people going to where the better services are. The government is just there to overregulate any opponents to death. And that's socialism, not fascism, according to the Democrats, the same leftists who say that what Hunter Biden does is okay, what Joe Biden does hiding classified documents is okay. Everything's okay unless someone else does it that they don't like. Folks, more Silk or Joe Show after this break.
This report is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Start your new year with real Coke taste and zero sugar. Coke Zero Sugar is now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Coke Zero Sugar will fuel your new year with that great Coke taste. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. It's sizzling sausage, fluffy egg, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck, because all Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Coke Zero Sugar is a great way to start 2023. And since you rule, you can enjoy it all year, too, at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
According to the new State of Security Preparedness 2023 study released by Avanti, approximately half of respondents said they are very prepared to meet the growing threat landscape, but expected safeguards are ignored a third of the time, and leaders are actually four times more likely to be victims of phishing compared to office workers. Avanti CEO Jeff Abbott.
Avanti surveyed 6,500 executive leaders, cybersecurity professionals, and office workers globally to understand the perception of today's cybersecurity threats and to find out how companies are preparing for next-generation cyber terror threats. The overwhelming majority of security professionals and leaders, 97%, told us their organizations are as prepared or more prepared today than 1 year ago. However, the threat of the unknown is as real as ever. In fact, only one in five of those same cybersecurity professionals would wager a chocolate bar on the state of their readiness.
To learn more, visit Avanti.com/cybersecurity report.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib, and keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. but get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with the Silk or Joe Show for this hour. We are joined now in this last segment by Reggie Littlejohn, founder and president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers and co-chair of Stop Vax Passports Task Force. Reggie Littlejohn, happy to have you. How are you today? Oh, never mind. We don't have him yet. Anyway, so in the opening segment, I was talking to you about how, well, talking to you, I was talking to Simone Collins, co-author of The Pragmatist's Guide to Crafting Religion, about how China is ending their three-child policy because they recognize the decline of their population, and the U.S. has yet to recognize the decline of its population. Well, I guess we have to an extent. That's why, one of the reasons why people in power are saying that they're bringing in all these illegal immigrants to bypass our immigration system and ensure that we have a sustainable population. However, we're still declining population-wise, and so is China, yet China is saying that they're actually a rising power. They're not in decline, and they are ending their three-child policy sometime soon. And that was mentioned in the opening segment as well, but joining us now to talk about that, we have Reggie Littlejohn, founder and president of Women's Rights Without Frontiers and co-chair of Stop Vax Passports Task Force. Reggie Littlejohn, happy to have you. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for being here. So what do you make of China's claims about being a rising power and ending their three-child policy, which comes after their one-child policy and decades of stagnation for their population?
Well, I guess one thing I would say is I see that China has one province, Sichuan province, that has ended the three-child policy. I'm not aware that the entire nation is doing that. But in terms of their claim that they are a rising power, I mean, this is their narrative, and it's been their narrative for a very long time, like decades, that they basically want to be the hegemon of the world. That's their word. They want to be the dominant power, the superpower in the world, and they have been claiming that they are the rising power, and the United States is the falling power. But they just shot themselves in the foot with that one because, you know, they, for the first time in 2022, their population started to decline, and it's actually a very serious situation that demographers forecasted by 2035, 400 million people, that's 30% of the entire Chinese population, will be retirement age, and they do not have the young population to sustain that. So I think that they are imploding, and they are, even just through their brutal one-child policy, then two-child policy, and three-child policy, they have made their own forecast, they've made their own narrative impossible for them to achieve.
Does that inflame the situation then between China and Taiwan? They might see Taiwan as a source of potential new citizens to keep their declining population from going under, because you need that population in order to fund all your government, in order to take all the money from the people. So in order to stay alive, they'll have to reach out and conquer somebody.
Well, what they've been doing is they have been, they are considered to be a tier three nation in terms of human trafficking and sexual slavery. And they have been trafficking women and girls within China and from the surrounding countries, because not only do they have a declining population, but they have a huge gender imbalance between women and men because girls have been selectively aborted. This is something that the government didn't do. The government would forcibly abort anyone who was pregnant if they weren't married or if they had more than one child under the one-child policy, and then it was two children and three children under the two-child policy and the three-child policy. So, but the people themselves, they have, especially in the countryside, they have son preference, And so with the coercive low birth limit, people wanted to make sure that at least one of their children was a boy. And so second daughters and third daughters have been selectively aborted at massive rates, to the extent that the Chinese Communist Party believes, or demographers believe, they have about 35 million more men living in China than women today. And so for that reason, they are just turning a blind eye to the human trafficking and sexual slavery that's coming from the surrounding countries. And that's how I think that they're trying to stop this population decline and also stop from having revolution from these 35 million men who are called bare branches, because they will never reproduce, because their future wives were aborted before they were born.
Wow. Why are we in the West taking lessons from this as to what not to do? It seems over here we just have this kind of culture of not having kids at all, which is going to lead to this sort of thing. And even in Western societies, abortions do show a sex-selective preference there. It's not as much as in China, but still, more women are aborted than men.
Well, you know something? In China, it is really taking hold. This whole idea about not having kids, because the Chinese Communist Party has browbeat the people into thinking that kids are not a blessing, they're just a burden. And recently, under the zero COVID policy that they've been having, that they've been struggling with in China, which was recently abolished, but when they had it, this couple was confronted by COVID police, and they were refusing to go into quarantine. And the COVID police said, "Well, we will punish you under three generations of your family." And they said, "We are the last generation." And they posted that online, and it went viral, because that's the feeling in China. A lot of young people do not want to have kids because they have been browbeaten into thinking, or brainwashed into thinking, that kids are just a burden and really nothing else. And also because they're so miserable under Xi Jinping's China that they don't even want to bring a child into the world. So this whole loosening up of the three-child policy, I don't think that it's going to result in the kind of population boom that the Chinese Communist Party is hoping it will, because they have just brainwashed the people to the point where they just don't want to have kids, many of them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's just the way that we're going over here in the U.S. and in other Western countries. Gee whiz, I've seen, just on dating apps alone, plenty of people who say child-free, not going to have kids and all that. It's like, well, that's kind of self-centered there. I know it's like for environmental reasons or other reasons they're indoctrinated with, but at the same time, how are we going to support Social Security, welfare programs, and all that if the whole population is aging and there's no one left to fund those sort of programs? Reggie Littlejohn, right, real quick, before the segment ends, where can we find out more about you?
Women'sRightsWithoutFrontiers.org. Women'sRightsWithoutFrontiers.org.
All right, and thank you for being on the Silker Joe Show. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. We are done with you for this week. You can find out more about us at MainStreetMediaNetwork.com or on Gitter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.